All right, let's do some review. We're talking about this series is the power series. So we're learning keys of power. What did we learn? What was the first key of power? Come on, not everybody at the same time. What was the first key? Expectation. Say the power of expectation. Come on, everybody, say the power of expectation. Okay. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. And when she said that, you know what? She still had that problem. But she had a power of expectation. We see that throughout the Word of God. The man whose daughter was sick to the point of death said, Jesus, just come on over and lay hands on her and she will be well. Power of expectation. Incredibly powerful principle in God's Word that you can use. Then last week we saw the power of what? Come on, say the power of Thanksgiving. Okay. We're going to learn all these powers. First, the power of anticipation. Say the power of anticipation. Okay. Next, say the power of Thanksgiving. Okay. And we saw and we said and we saw it in the Word that it was so powerful for us to have these seeds of hope and seeds of the vision that God has called us to good marriages, healthy bodies, lives that are debt-free, lives that are producing and getting people saved, and not just getting a few people saved, but getting a lot of people saved. But in order to do that, you need to start watering that seed. And we saw in the Word that it was so powerful for us to water the seed by simply just thanking God in advance. Saying, God, well, thank you. I've been using that principle all week long. I've been saying, God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. And every time in my mind, I'm recognizing, I'm getting some stuff done this week in the spiritual realm. Amen? Are you learning something? Okay. So everybody say wax on, wax off. Okay. Okay. See, I'm teaching you these principles and you won't even know it. And all of a sudden, you know what? So these saints are going to come against you and you're going to go. And you start using these principles. Everybody say number one, the power of anticipation. Everybody say number two, the power of Thanksgiving. Amen. So what power are we going to learn today? The third one. Thank you. Very good. Okay. Third one, I want to talk to you today about the power of not looking at your circumstances. The power of not looking at your circumstances. Now, let me explain this. Let me just ask you this first. How many have something in your life that you would like to change? Raise your hand if you have something in your life that you would like to change. Okay, look, all over. Okay. Here's the key. You've got to be able to know that that circumstance is there, but to override that circumstance. You've got to have the ability to not see that circumstance as never having been, never being able to change. And for some of you, that situation has been going on for 8 days. 8 days. For 8 years. For 9 years. For 12 years. There's situations in your life, and that's what they are. And there's a great, listen, there's I'll say it like this, there's a great temptation of you seeing that and it becomes concrete in your mind and it becomes concrete and you over a period of time from the heart the mouth speaks, you might even say, you know what, I'm always, you know what, people say this all the time, you'll hear them, they'll say, you know what, I'm just bad with names. Maybe you said it like that. Well, I'm just bad with names. I just can't. Whoa. Can I tell you what? Can I tell you what I know? You're bad with names. But here's what I also know. I also know that you don't have to be bad with names. And I know the power of not looking at what is. It's very powerful. And there's other situations, you know what? Other people say, well, you know what? I've been trying to lose these 20 pounds for, you know, blah, blah, blah. I've been losing, you know what? I lose 20 pounds, then I gain it back. Then I lose 20 pounds, then I gain it back. When I lose 20 pounds, here, why don't you do this? Why don't you be quiet? See, let me tell you what's going on. Can I tell somebody what's going on? It is a self, listen, and then when you lose 20 pounds and then you gain it back, here's then what you say. You say, see, that's just what happens. And then it becomes a stronghold in your life, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And there's circumstances in your life that if you'll take this power and if you'll stop looking at the circumstance, listen to me very carefully. If you'll stop looking at the circumstance, what's the problem? The problem is that your sight is so powerful to create these strongholds in your life. And you've got to start to not look at your circumstance. A couple of scriptures real quick. First, my first point, and we're going to look at some scripture today. My first point is this. God desires that we put our trust in Him. Listen, what am I inferring there? I'm saying in Him and not in what has been. You're putting your trust in Him. Most people put their trust in, well, this is what the doctor said. This is what I felt. This is what's been. This is what I've experienced for the last 8 years, for the last 7 years, for the last 8 months. I've always been in debt. I've never been good with finance. I just don't do finances very well. See, all this, what's happening? You are gotten used to looking at your circumstance. But the Bible says, God says, that we are to put our trust in Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And we quote this all the time. Usually we quote the second part, lean not into our own understanding. How many have heard that? Lean not, I'm a pastor. I say this all the time. Lean not into your own understanding. Quote this first part. And that's fine. That's a great thing to quote. But let's quote the first part along with the second part. Look what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. And lean not into your own understanding. Amen. Your own understanding in that the circumstances that you have experienced for the last 10 years. The circumstances that, you know what, when you went to the doctor, he x-rayed this and he said, no, this is how it is. This is not changeable. You need to start to learn to live with that. We'll just manage your pain. No, exactly. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. 2 Corinthians, you know this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:7, you know this. For we walk. He's talking about Christians. Paul's talking about Christians. For Christians, we don't walk by our sight. For we walk by what? Faith and what? Ever say not by sight? Well, what's sight? Sight is your circumstances. Well, somebody said, yeah, but that's the facts. Yeah, but we're not called to live in that realm. We're called to put our trust in the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding. We're called to put our faith in God and not in what the circumstances are, not what it looks like. Amen. Is somebody hearing me? Okay. Next verse, look at this. Habakkuk says this, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but, giving you a contrast, but you're not like that. What you do is, but the just shall live by his faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. So all eyes up here. I'm going to show you this clip. Guys, get back. We're ready to show this clip. But I need to set up this clip. This is a young man, and he's very proficient in chess. He's a very good chess player. Just a boy, really. And his father finds out he's a really good chess player, so he gets him this coach. He's in this tournament, and in this tournament, he is playing this guy, and everybody else is already out. There's the last two left in this big, big tournament. And he's looking at the board. And he has this flashback of his coach teaching him something. Okay. So they're in this training session, and he can't see what the coach sees. And here's what the coach does. The coach takes the board and all the bunch of the chess pieces, a bunch of those pieces are on the board, and he takes it with his hand and he knocks it away. And he says, "Can you see it now? That is my sermon. And my sermon to you is that you would take the chess pieces in your life that are right there. The situations, what the doctor has said, your thought of your finances, you'll never get out of debt. Your thought of your marriage isn't what it should be. Your the reality that your kids aren't serving the Lord. See, these are in your face and they seem very real to you. And what I want you to do is I want you to do exactly what that coach did. I want you to take those chess pieces and I want you to exercise power of not seeing your circumstance." He can't see it. He can't see it. But he goes back to remembering what his coach talked to him about getting rid of everything. And then, watch this, when he does that, and watch it, because those pieces are there, but in his mind, he'll see it. And just for a moment, there'll be no pieces on the board. When he sees the no pieces on the board, he sees it. That's your issue. The pieces on the board are so real to you that you don't even see what God wants to do in your life. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. You guys win. You win. Listen to me. Here's the problem. You don't win. Here's why. Because you can't see it. What's in your way? Here's what's in your way. What's in your way is all these circumstances in your life. And some of them have been in your life for years. And what you have to do is you have to exercise the power of not looking at your circumstances. You've got to be able in your life to take those circumstances and wipe them away. Amen. Just like that coach did. He said, "Let me help you." And that's what you've got to do. Because when you do that, just like this boy did that, when he did that, and not, listen to me, and not until you don't step out in where you should step out. Here's why. Because you don't see it. You're intimidated. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says when Satan is revealed, that here's what we'll say: this is the worm that deceived the nations. We will go, "Oh my goodness." You know what, Paul, guys, you don't have it, but go to, you do have it. Go to the Ephesians scripture. Here's what Paul prays. Paul prays that your heart, that your understanding would be enlightened. One version says, the NIV says this: "I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened." That you would see what is really there. Watch this next version. This is so powerful. Look at this. Same, uh, same verse, but look at this version. Then, this is what Paul's praying. Then you will have a deeper insight. You will know the confidence that he calls you to have and the glorious wealth that God's people will inherit. Look at this next verse. Amen. You will also know the unlimited greatness of his power as it works with might and strengthen for us, the believers. His power working for us. Now, understand this, that you are the catalyst of change. Say, I'm the catalyst of change. No, you don't understand, Pastor. Let me tell you my marriage problem. The problem that I have in my marriage is my wife. If she would just change, you know what I mean? And listen, honest, you really think that. If my husband would just change, if my wife would just change, if I could just get a new job, you know what I mean? I mean, everybody in my job, non-Christian, you know what I mean? Just, so hardworking here. Woo! Why do you think God placed you there? And you're thinking that if, you know what, if this would change, if that would change, you are the catalyst of change. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures that I'm going to show them to you, because if I just quoted them, you probably wouldn't believe me. There's scripture, even Jesus would say stuff like this, and you know this. He'd say, "Assuredly I say unto you." Because what he's about to say is so unbelievable. I have a couple of scriptures that should see this. I don't know that I gave you these either. The first is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, who's saying this? God. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them is men. Let men have dominion over the fish of the earth, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What's God saying? I want man to have dominion. Say this, I'm the catalyst of change. Now, David, this is a theological truth. David goes over the same theological truth. Look at Psalm chapter 8, the 8th psalm. The 8th psalm, starting with verse 2. The 8th psalm, starting with verse 2. Say, I'm the catalyst of change. Look what it said. Out of the mouth of who? Babes and nursing infants. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about men, women, human beings. You have ordained what? Strength because of your enemies, that you might silence your enemy and be the avenger. Watch this. Next verse. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Did we not sing that? Who am I that you are mindful? Let me tell you who you are. That's David saying, man, wow. Now here's why. Watch this. What is the man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. That's God crowning you with glory and honor. Watch this. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under. Notice his feet. Yes, hallelujah. Everything's under the feet of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is that a large H, a capital H, or a small H? Okay. Now, this is the New King James Version. In the New King James Version, they are deciding what that should be. Why did these theologians decide that that should be a little h? And they were correct in making that a little h. You know why? Because they read verse 2. They understand that he's talking about, you know what, little babies. He's talking about humans. And the Bible says, this is God. God has put all things under his feet. So, Pastor, why does that happen? Why are my circumstances still what they are? You don't have one. Here's why. Because you haven't wiped the board. You can't see it. There's such power in you not seeing your circumstances. There's something what happens when you will wipe the board and look at your life with a clean slate and say, God, with you, all things are possible. Amen. And not allow your past to dictate your future. See, that's what most people do. Most people allow their past to handcuff them in their future. They, as hard as they try, really the truth is, you know what? Many of you haven't even been taught this. And it definitely hasn't been taught to you as clear as it's going to be taught to you today, that you could see, oh my goodness, that's what I have to do. I've got all these circumstances in my life, and all I have to do is clear. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I want so much light to come into your heart that you won't even see your circumstances anymore. Can I show it to you a couple places in the Word of God? Are you learning something already? Can you feel hope spring up in you already? Second point is this. We must understand that there is something more sure than what we can see. You've got to understand, there's something more sure than your circumstances, more sure than facts that people have told you. No, that can't change. That will never change. You've heard stuff from your grandma and your mom and your, you know, uncles and aunts, and that's just how, you know what I mean? And it's so, no, please. You must understand that there's something way more powerful than that which you can see. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? See, faith is a real substance. And it is a substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of something what? Not seen. There's something that's more powerful than you can see. Watch this. Next verse. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. What's God saying? God's saying, listen, faith is a substance, and everything that you see was made by the power of God's words. So, deep question. When God said, let there be light, was there light? Come on. So sometimes you answer just religiously. You know what I mean? Jesus, think of the question again. Okay, let me give you a hint. Most of you got it wrong. I think I heard one person get it right. When God said, let there be light, before he said that, this is deep, was there light? See, take the religious hat off and come up, you know. Okay, no! When he said, let there be creeping thing and all this, all creates all the animals. Was there any animals before he said, let there be animals? No. Was there any trees before he said, let there be trees? No. Nothing. See, here's my point. There is something more powerful than what you can see. There are things. Listen, faith is a substance. There's, everybody say faith is a substance. You're thinking, oh, faith's not a substance. No, faith is so powerful that it created everything that you see. Are you learning something?
Okay.
Now watch this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. If you don't have it, we have it up here on the screens. Look what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen. That's my point. Paul has learned to see the circumstances in his life and just clear the board. And when he does that, he sees things that can happen that other people would say, it can't happen. Hello. The apostles did this all the time. The Bible says mighty works were done by the apostles' hands. You know why they did it? You know why the apostles, John and Peter, took that man by the hand, somebody who had never walked before in his life, and they jerk him up on his feet? Can I tell you why? Because they saw it. They were able to clear it off, that they could see, clear the circumstances off, that they could see something. Listen, I'm telling you what. Some of you are sitting there today, and I'm telling you what I know. All you have to do is stop seeing your circumstances. It's all you have to do. It is one of the most powerful forces you will ever walk in. And if you keep on seeing that circumstance and seeing that, let me tell you what, you can't see it. Remember the little boy? I can't see it. Why couldn't he see it? Because he's too busy with the pieces right there. Clear it off. Get rid of the circumstances and just see your marriage as a good marriage. Just see your body as healed. Imagine being completely out of debt. Clear it off. We do not look at the things which are seen. That's what he did. That's why he walked in the supernatural power of God, because circumstances didn't dictate to him what is. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now here's the question. What is more powerful? What is more real? The things, something that's temporary or something that lasts forever? Let me say it another way. But for we don't look at the things which are inferior, but the things which are superior. Here's what I'm saying, guys. If you'll just get rid of your circumstances and start to imagine your life pain-free, start to imagine your marriage the way you want your marriage to be, start to see your kids down here front worshiping God, start to exercise the power of not seeing the circumstance. Are you learning something today? Can I show you something else? Isaiah 55:9. You know this verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, what? My ways what? Higher or superior to what? Your ways. You know the Bible says that Moses learned God's ways? See, all we have to do is get rid of the thought that my circumstance, we just look at the circumstance, look at the circumstance, look at the circumstance, and the pieces on the board convince us that we've lost. And what does the enemy say? Remember the other boy? What does he say? He says, move. And then he says, look. He says, you know what? He says, look at the board. See, that is Satan's intimidation to you, saying, hey, look at how it is. It's never going to change. You lost. I love what this boy says. He says, you've lost. You just don't see it. Can I tell you the truth? You've won. Some of you just don't see it. And the reason you don't see it is because the circumstance are dictated because you won't exercise the power. You keep on seeing it. You keep on seeing it. You keep on seeing it. Wipe it away. Wipe it away. Let God show you something. All right. This is a great story. My last point. In order to see it, we must get on the right frequency. In order to see it, you've got to get out of that. Because let me tell you what this is. There's a spiritual realm and there's a carnal realm. Your circumstances are part of the carnality of life. And you've got to turn off, you've got to turn the channel from that, this is how it is, it's how it always will be, into, with God all things are possible. You've got to get on his frequency. Again, Paul's prayer. I pray that your understanding or your heart would be filled with light. Why? What does light do? It was more Tamara than me. Amen. But we were fixing trying to fix a valve in our shower, and it's kind of in this tunnel. And it was dark. What did we do? To fix it, we got a flashlight, and when we got real powerful flashlight, and guess what? We could see it. That's what God. That's what Paul is praying. I pray that you would see it. That there would, just one version says that there would be a flood of light into your heart. What's in your heart? Your spirit, all the spiritual realm in your heart, the reality of what is real. Here's what you need to understand. There's something way more real than what you can see. And your circumstances are just holding you back, and you won't ever walk into it. And because you won't ever walk into it, you'll see, that's how it is. I knew it was that way. Self-fulfilling prophecy. If at any time what I've said so far, if any lights are going on, raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm catching what you're saying. Okay. My last point. In order to see it, we must get on the right frequency. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Great story. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 8. Starting with verse 8. Let me read it to you. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. You catch this? And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. So he's sitting down with his guys saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. Watch this. And a man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Next verse. When the king of Israel sent someone to that place of which the man of God had told him, thus he warned him. Oh, yeah. And he was watchful there, not just once, but twice. What's going on? The king is telling his group what they're going to do. And then when they do that, they're already there. So watch what happens. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by the thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he says, hey, there's a spy among us because somebody is telling, you know what, our enemy what's going on. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the works that you speak in your bedroom. What's this? He's saying that the prophet has a word of knowledge. There's no spies here. The problem is Elijah is the problem. And he supernaturally knows what's going on. So what's the king say? So he said, go and see where he is. So I got to take care of Elijah. If I take him out, then boom, we got it. go see where he is, that I might send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a, what kind of army? A great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. So catch it. They say, we know where he is. He's in Dothan. The king sends a great army. They surround him. We got him. Right? Watch this. Then the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. Elijah's servant goes out. He's like, oh, I'm going to get my coffee. He goes outside. Oh, it's gonna, oh, beautiful day today. And he looks, and when he looks, he says, all the enemy completely surrounded him. And the servant said to him, alas, my master, what should we do? Then he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those are with them. Wait, 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 wait. Who's got more? Understand this. The power of not looking at your circumstance, of getting onto the frequency of God. Most people, they can't see this. And you know why they can't see it? Because they're so busy looking at all the army around. Look, look, look. Who's more? I don't, depends. Well, there's a truth that God's army is more. That's the truth. That's, watch this. This is so good. That's the truth. But somebody would go out there and be, watch this, and they're wrong. And they assess it just with their physical eyes, and they say, oh man, we are so outnumbered. That's what happens to Christians. They're looking at their circumstances, and they don't understand. You've got to get on the supernatural frequency of God. And when you do that, you can clear and not look at your circumstance. Watch this, next verse. Then Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he might see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. You know what my prayer for you is? That you would stop looking at your circumstances and start to see the power of God in your life. The power, listen, the power of you not looking at your circumstances. One of the most powerful things you'll ever do is stop looking at your circumstance. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Oh yeah, we got some bad dudes around us. So then this is a great story. Then the Syrians came down to him. Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike his people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now, we're going to get back to this, but make a mental note. According to who? According to who? Who is the agent of change in your life? See, I heard the wrong answer. The religious answer, which is just what we say out of our God, God, Jesus, God. Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. Who is the agent of change in your life? I'll give you one hint. It's not God. You are. Remember the guy who says, and of course Jesus healed him. But remember the guy with blindness? We looked at it 2 weeks ago. Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Please connect the dots. What I'm saying is, some of you are never getting over to the supernatural because you won't exercise the power of not looking at what you see. There's something so powerful of you not. The illustration, there's something powerful, and you got to do it in the spiritual realm. Clear it off. Stop allowing your circumstances to get you depressed and discouraged and convinced. You are the agent of change in your life. Amen. Going back, go back. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Okay, so what happens? So I'll just tell you the rest of the story. So, go to the next one. I'll read it for you. Okay, so now Elijah said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city." These guys are all blind. Elijah says, "Hey, guys, you're in the wrong city." What's he? "This is not the way, nor the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." How come they don't know? Because they're blind. Elijah's leading them. God's funny sometimes, is he not? Okay, so then he says, "You know what? But I will lead you to them." You know what? To Samaria. He leads them. Watch this. He leads them. Guess where he leads them? Right to the armies of God. Now, here's the beautiful thing in this story. Okay. And men, you might not know this. How is the army killed? Do you know how the army gets killed? Oh, I'm setting you up. I thought Jonathan would know. They don't get killed. He leads them to the armies of Israel. The king of Israel says, "Elijah, what do you want me to do?" Watch this, so beautiful. He says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make them some food and give them something to drink." Oh, and the Bible says, and he makes them a great feast, the Bible says. Imagine how you feel. You know what? You're set up. You're like, "Oh, we're in trouble. They're going to kill us." And instead of killing them, they say, "Oh, here, let's have let me give you a, what's a good place to eat? In-N-Out." Oh, brother. Okay. "Let me give you a double-double, animal style." Okay. Okay. You're like, "Whoa, man. Whoa." You know what? Yeah, thank you. Street dog. Amen. Better yet, street dog. Extra bacon, street dog, boom. Okay, watch this. Imagine this. And here's what the Bible says. And after that, listen, after that, they let them go. They go home. And Israel is never, never attacked by this nation again. Now, here's the beautiful thing. And I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning just meditating this passage. And the Holy Spirit showed me something amazing. You know what's amazing? Is that Elijah could have freaked out with his servant, could have looked at the circumstance and said, "We're completely messed up. We're going to die." But he's the agent of change here. It wasn't even the armies, the chariots of fire that beat up, that won the battle. You know who it was? It was Elijah's prayer. And here's what God showed me. God showed me that the power is in your hand. And all you have to do is understand. Why was Elijah so confident? Because he knew God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? See, all we have to do is get our problems, our situation, the facts out of our head and start to focus on the power of God's love for us. And when we do, here's what will happen. You will pray radical prayers like Elijah prayed. God, I pray that you would bring blindness to them. See, here's what I'm saying. God wants you to walk in the supernatural. But if you don't get your eyes off of the circumstances, you'll never walk in that supernatural. You'll never fulfill. You've got to have a willingness to, I don't care how ingrained you're, and I hope this sermon has brought faith to you that you would start to see. All right, let me tell you one more story real quick. And you know this story because we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Remember the man whose daughter comes to Jesus and says, "My daughter is so sick that she's about to die." Remember this? But he says, "All you have to do is lay your hands on her and she will recover." Remember this? Okay. Well, so he says, "Come to my house." So he's going to his house. When he's going, all eyes up here. Okay. What is Mr. Makiaki say? Oh, look I. Always look I. Okay. So look I. Okay. So he's walking. As he's walking, watch this. As he's walking, the woman with the issue of blood stops him. Well, they go through this whole ordeal. In this time, somebody from his house comes up and says, don't bother him anymore. She's dead. You have got to stay on God's frequency. There is something more real than what you can see. Does anybody have a penny? A penny. Does anybody have a penny? Penny. Okay. Thank you. Peter's got a penny. Thank you. Okay. So here's my question. Okay, so this is a penny. Not a big penny like that. A small penny like this. Here's my question. How many know that there are atoms in this penny? Okay. Now here, there's a lot of atoms in this penny. So what I have to do is I have to look really close to see them. Okay. Somebody say atoms are really, really small. So take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. How many atoms are in this penny? How many atoms are in this penny? Okay. So no, just think about it. I'll give you some time. Okay. Think about it. You remember you have the jelly beans in the jelly bar, in the jelly bar, in the jelly dar, in the jelly, I'll get it. In the jelly jar. Thank you. Okay. And you have to guess how many. Here's okay. How many atoms are in this penny? Look real carefully. Okay, come up with your answer. Let me give you a clue. There's a whole lot. Okay. There's not 1,000. There's not 100,000. There's not a million. There's not a billion. There's not a trillion on this one penny. Okay. Here, I'll tell you what it is. Show me the number. Here's what it is. Ready? It is 2.8 times 10 to the 20. Second power. What is that? That's a 28 with 21 zeros after that. Here's how much it is. In this penny, there's 28 billion, billion, million. Million, million, billion on this penny. Look real close. You say, Pastor, what's your point? My point is that, listen, that people see things. People would say, oh, you know, there was a time when some people thought their atom didn't exist. There's a guy who said before Christ, he said, you know what? He said, if you do this, if you take a piece of paper and you tear it, and then you take this piece of paper and you tear it again, and then you take this piece of paper and you tear it again, and you take this piece of paper and tear it again, and you take this and you tear it again, and then you take this and you tear it again, and then you take this and you tear it again, and then you take this and you tear it again, and then you take this and you tear it again. At some point in time, he said, you will not be able to tear it anymore. Now, at this point, these guys are actually philosophers, and they are theorizing that there is something called and he called it I've got in my notes somewhere, an atomon or something. It's where we get our book, our word atom from. And here's what he theorized. At some point in time, there is something, that's what it means. It's unterrible. You can't tear it anymore. And that's, he theorized that there was something real small, and he called it a atom. And then later on, they found it. They discovered it. And guess what they called it? Called it an atom. Guess who discovered it? Show me this next slide. This guy, John Dalton. Okay, he's got some style, does he not? You know what I mean? Yeah, and you thought I had style wearing polka dots. Look at that, amen. Right? Check it out. Okay. Hey, Tamara, can you give me that on the internet? That's a cool look, amen. But John Dalton, let me tell you. Hey, listen. Wild guess. Guess what? Was John Dalton an atheist? Take a wild guess. John Dalton was a Christian. At some point in time, they were able to, because they had some theories, but at some point in time, they were able to see, as small as it was, they were able to see the atom. Here's what I'm saying. There's a force that is way stronger than what you think exists, that will never change. It's the force of trusting in God and believing God in your situation in your life. And I don't care, everybody goes, people say, I don't see an atom. It doesn't exist. That's what people do. And that's what you can do sometimes. You've got to have the integrity to clear it off. Say, with God, all things. See what other people can't see. My prayer, I proclaim and declare that you are going to see things, that you are going to have the integrity to clear off circumstances in your life. And that when you do, just like that little boy, just like that God said, he sees it. You're going to see it. You're going to see your marriage restored. You're going to see your kids coming back to God. You're going to see the final check that you write, you know what, to get you completely out of debt. You're going to clear it off. Amen. And you're going to start to walk in the supernatural power of God. Amen. Oh, I forgot to tell you. So I'll end with this. So in this exchange with the woman, issue of blood, they come to him and say, don't bother him anymore. See, that's where we live. We live at this division. Am I going to believe what the circumstances are, or am I going to live in the power of God? And Jesus looks at this man who has already had the faith to believe that he can do it. But watch this. Now the circumstances are worse because now he's got a report that his child is dead. And Jesus looks at him and says, don't fear, only believe. What's he saying? Get your eyes off the circumstance and keep your eyes on me. Amen. Amen. Amen.